生で全員12名ご利用交通機ご利用のお客様へご搭乗選手のご案内申し上げます。
I think one of us should say Rad Strangest, then another should say International.
You know what I'm saying?
Welcome to Rad Smith. Like, what do you...
No, one of us would say...
Welcome to Camp Rad Strangeness.
International. All you dudes and dudettes, welcome back to your favorite podcast, That Would Be Rad, the podcast that majors in 80s and 90s nostalgia, comic culture, all things paranormal, and minors in retro video games, tabletop RPGs, pre-internet mysteries, and raising our kids to be half as cool as we were back in the 80s. I'm your camp counselor, Tyler Bentz, and this is your other counselor,
Woody Brown.
Hey, pal.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, bro. How about you?
I mean, camp is well underway here, man.
It sure is. And I'm liking where it's headed, too.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny, man. And I kind of did a little something interesting this week because I just sort of said, hey, man, don't worry about it. I got this week's topic. And you probably, now, listener, as you're listening to this, you already know what the topic is because you've seen the artwork for the episode. But Tyler doesn't really know. Although... Dude, I gotta say, you were the one that triggered my interest in finally covering this one. You're gonna be like, oh, man, whenever I say this. But you actually mentioned this, if you can remember, way back when we recorded the episode that came out last week.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned this to me, and I thought, oh, man, we gotta do it. So today, we're gonna be talking about the Solway Firth Spaceman.
Yes, bro. I love this one.
You know, it comes with like a famous picture that everybody's seen. In fact, like, as I was thinking about this, immediately I remembered, like, this is one of those cases that I think, if I'm remembering correctly, was in like every single paranormal or UFO-related book at the book fair back when we were kids. You know, everyone's probably seen this picture before, and it's extremely interesting. And so... I mean, truthfully, without further ado, I'd like to just kind of dive straight into this.
Dude, let's get into it. I love this story.
This week, we're kind of staying in the, we'll just call it like the Europe area of the world. And in May 23rd, 1964, a gent named Jim Templeton took his wife and his five-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, to a place called Berg Marsh for a little afternoon, you know, walking, taking pictures, maybe a picnic and stuff. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with this area, Berg Marsh, or Berg by the Sands, is in the Solway Coast area on the sort of eastern coast of the UK, almost directly east from Sheffield. And Nottingham and you know, north of Cambridge or Cambridge. Anyhow, it's a sort of beautiful area. It's actually where King Edward I of England died when he, as he was kind of planning another battle against the Scots and stuff. Really kind of old school area, but, you know, a nice little coastal, English coastal area. So Jim Templeton and his wife and his five-year-old daughter, Elizabeth, we're out and about and enjoying what appears to be a beautiful day. Jim, he's kind of an amateur photographer. He had just gotten a brand new Kodak SLR camera. His little daughter had apparently gotten a new little dress. And so he wanted to take some cool pictures of her. And again, this happened kind of close to this place called the Solway Firth Estuary. And This is an area where he and his family had hiked up these grassy knolls before plenty of times. Kind of how they like to spend a sunny afternoon on the weekends. And one of the things that they noticed, though, as they were kind of walking around and stuff, is that it seemed to be kind of a typical normal afternoon, except for the fact that the cows and sheep in the area that typically would sort of just be standing around in the fields were kind of all bunched together, feeding on the far side of the marsh. And he said all the animals on that particular day were away on the other end of the marsh, all huddled together as though they'd been frightened. Templeton didn't really notice that there was anything kind of that would have stood out to him as the reasoning for this. But as they were kind of just enjoying the afternoon, he had his daughter Elizabeth pose on a grassy hillside, and she was kind of grasping a bunch of freshly picked flowers. And he took three successive photos of Elizabeth, and then the family continued on their way, unaware of what the camera had captured. Now, this is something that we kind of talked about last week when we were discussing Ed Walter's Polaroid and kind of old school cameras and how they work. You know, this is far before the day of just basically having an HD camera in your pocket and being able to just see your picture. And, you know, nowadays, I'm sure you're like this, or at least your wife is like this, Tyler. And I know that, I mean, everybody that I know, you take a picture with a group and they're like, let me look at it real quick. Like whenever we go on a double date, we take a picture of all of us. And then the first thing that we do isn't just like, okay, we'll see you guys later. Is we all look at that picture to make sure it's cool or yeah, whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. Everybody does that now. Well, back in the day, you couldn't do that. So he snapped away a couple of pictures, didn't think twice about it, kind of finished their day and had a, you know, wonderful time together as a family. Well, a few days later, when he went and retrieved his pictures back from the developer, back then they called him the chemist, especially in England, you know, he was kind of mad because it looked like, although he was unaware of it at the time, somebody that he referred to as some idiot had ruined what mm-hmm. he thought was an awesome picture of his daughter.
Yeah.
And as he kind of like looked at this picture a little bit closer, he was like, what the heck is this? What he saw was the image of what appeared to be a tall humanoid figure wearing a spacesuit jutting out at an odd angle from behind his daughter's head, kind of facing the other, well, I don't know if it's kind of facing the other direction.
I think it is, yeah.
Okay. Templeton was kind of, I mean, confused, as we all would be, because he was like, I don't remember there being anyone else out there aside from us, and it's not like one of those like 1800s cameras where he's like, okay, I got to go underneath this cape to take a picture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
He's looking through a normal camera.
Yeah, like the big
viewfinder.
Like,
yeah, yeah, exactly. Hey, wife, can you go ahead and powder up this flash? Okay. It's not like that, right? He's got the normal viewfinder, and sure, there could be something outside of that viewfinder sort of area as he's looking through it, but they would have noticed if somebody else was close by, and he distinctly remembers there being no one around. Even kind of more curious to him was the fact that, so not only was it just confusing to him because he didn't remember seeing anyone as they walked around, but also this spaceman only showed up in those three consecutive photos and none of the other ones. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in those three consecutive photos, he was only in the sort of middle photo. So, like, in other words, he took three photos. The spaceman appears in photo number two, but mm-hmm. not in photo number one or three.
Yeah.
So, just kind of perplexed at this point, Templeton basically reported this case to the police.
Real quick, just to add also that there was nobody there. I think he said that the only people that were even remotely there were two older ladies like sitting in their car in the parking lot when they pulled up.
Right. So. Yeah. And like I said, and I'm, you know, Tyler last year went to Yellowstone mm-hmm. and all these national parks and stuff. And, you know, we live in a day and age now where it's kind of hard to imagine walking around some of these beautiful areas and not just being surrounded by people. But, you know, there have been times when, for example, I've gone camping with my son or something, and you'll go a whole day without seeing somebody. And the moment that you do, it kind of stands out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it wouldn't be a situation where he just, oh, well, I forgot that someone was standing on this hill with us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyways, he ends up reporting this case to the police, which that's an interesting decision. But still, I think that's how sort of amazed that he was about this. And he sends the picture to Kodak, where they actually just exhaustively examined this picture for any kind of signs of faulty film stock and tampering, or, you know, if it was, what am I looking for here? Or whether or not it was like a hoax.
Yeah, know? Right, right. Sort of like photo manipulation.
Yeah, they were trying to figure it out, like, what's going on here? And ultimately, I think it sounds like Templeton was just pissed off because he thought he took, like, an outstanding picture of his daughter. Back then, Photoshop didn't exist. It's not like he could Photoshop or erase that strange spaceman in the picture from the photo. After all of this investigation, Kodak announced that the photo was, in fact, genuine. See, the police made the first assumption that it was just a case of double exposure, you know, one of the negatives being printed on top of the other during the processing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks believe, and when you're looking at this picture, and of course we're going to provide this picture on our Instagram and all of that, and patrons will probably get it the day before. A lot of folks, as they're looking at it, believe that the faceplate of this being is visible above the young girl's head. And so when you're looking at this, I want you to, you know, pull it up and look at this. It seems that there's even sort of like an elbow bend, but that it's kind of pointed as if the way that this elbow looks is it doesn't look like you're looking at someone facing you. It looks like
right.
anatomically mm-hmm. you're looking at the back of this being.
Yeah. And it almost looks like they're sort of looking off in the distance.
Right.
Kind of. Which go ahead.
I was going to say something that's interesting, and this is the first time that I've sort of read anything like this before. Whereas when we talked about the Gulf Breeze UFOs a couple of weeks ago, this didn't occur. You know, one of the things that I had a little bit of beef with was potentially like maybe this guy made up this story. He figured out this really cool method of being able to do this, and then he creates a book and he's making money off of it, okay? This specific story today is so different. In contrast, the Kodak executives were so kind of blown away by this dilemma that they actually offered a reward of free film for a year, which, you know, hey, look, it's not $1 million,
mm-hmm.
but free film for a year to any person that could solve the mystery as to how this quote-unquote spaceman got into the picture.
Yeah.
You know, back then, 1964, film probably wasn't very cheap. Mm-hmm. And also, it's just kind of a neat reward. You know, you feel like if there were other photographers out there that could figure out how this was hoaxed, that they would pretty quickly come up with some theories and stuff. To this day, the reward remains unclaimed.
Yeah. And also, I also read that for like free film for a year, but I also read in several other places that all sort of corroborated this, that it was free film for life. So
I like that.
Yeah. I don't know which one's correct. I mean, they're both pretty awesome, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially imagine like, you know, an amateur photographer being like, oh man, I'm totally going to jump on this. And,
right.
you know, you kind of wonder like how many people, you know, may have tried to debunk it or whatever.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's kind of put it into some more modern terms. What if someone was like, hey, we'll give you a brand new iPhone every single time a new one is released?
Right.
If you can prove that this is a hoax and show us how.
Yeah.
Dude, I'd pop in there with some theories.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
So it wasn't too long, actually, before this picture made its way across the worldwide press. It was published in newspapers all around the world. And Templeton kind of described the event to the press like this. He says, as an amateur photographer on a day trip with my family, I took the photograph on Berg Marsh on May 23rd, 1964. I took three pictures of my daughter Elizabeth in a similar pose and was shocked when the middle picture came back from Kodak displaying what looks like a spaceman in the background.
Yeah.
So, initially, this to me has always been like a story where there's an interesting photo of a girl, there's a strange spaceman in the background. That's about all I knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like multiple layers of this thing, and it continues to kind of get stranger and radder and stranger, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So here's something that's interesting about that region. Where this photo was taken has actually been a breeding ground for UFO activity for a long time. Many of the locals there at Berg Marsh believe that this was due to a nuclear power plant that resided nearby. We've kind of talked before about connections to nuclear power plants. You know, the Blackbird of Chernobyl.
Hear more about this rad strangeness on That Would Be Rad, Season 2, Episode 42. This is not a Mothman episode.
We've talked about, I think in the past, where there have been almost like a concentration of UFO sightings in and around nuclear power plants.
Yeah. I mean, and this is a little different, but like even Mothman. Even Mothman was around like a TNT factory. So
right.
And there were a lot of sort of UFO sightings around there too.
And some of our theories about that kind of come back to one of my favorite things, which is, you know, time travel and stuff like that. Or are these beings sort of studying and witnessing like our potential methods of destruction and kind of that kind of thing, right?
Right. Which a lot of people think that, I mean, we're definitely doing an episode on this, but like a lot of people do believe that there was correlation between like the Roswell incident and then it being, you know, White Sands Proving Ground being right up the road where they tested the first big bombs. Mm. So,
yeah. Templeton kind of told reporters that he had heard reports of the UFOs before, but had never seen any over Berg Marsh and certainly hadn't seen anything on this day in question here. Just when it seemed like Templeton's life couldn't get any weirder.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Pretty cool place. If you're a Martian.
Or a vampire. You
think you really know what's happening around here, don't you?
Is anyone out there?
We're fighters for truth, justice, and the American way.
Hey, this is Woody.
And this is Tyler. And you're listening to That Would Be Rad.
And now, back to our show. So just when it seemed as if Templeton's life couldn't get any crazier, he was visited. And again, man, I had no idea about this stuff. And so as I was uncovering every single one of these little details, I was like, oh, man. He was visited at work a few weeks after the picture hit the international press by what could only be described as men in black.
Yep.
Now, again, if this is...
Oh, it's well, awesome.
I didn't want to sound... That sounded a little bit like I was talking down somebody. Now, again, if you're new to these types of discussions and, you know, you only know... When I say the words men in black, you're thinking of Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith.
Yeah.
That's kind of like a Disney-fied version of men in black, right? So men in black are potentially... what would you say, Tyler? What's a great explanation of Men in Black?
So Men in Black were, they were kind of like these characters that were kind of known for sort of showing up around these sort of UFO flaps. A lot of people believe that there's, that some of these accounts at least can be sort of attributed to this special division that's like part of the Air Force. And I think a couple guys have kind of come out and sort of admitted that through the years that, you know, they say, hey, you know, we're sort of part of this division that nobody talked about, nobody knew about. And basically our jobs were to show up and, you know, kind of shut down the rumor mill, you know, when people were seeing UFOs in an area. There's, it's kind of weird. I'm kind of 50-50 on that. I mean, I think there could be a possibility that maybe that's some of them, you know, but even that, it's weird because it's like, okay, well then, like, what was the purpose of that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why the, you know, huge amount of, like, intimidation factor? Like, why was that needed? But then the other sort of idea is that they're, you know, possibly they're also of extraterrestrial origin. Mm. And because they, a lot of these sort of cases and accounts, and we'll do at least 1, 2, 3 episodes probably on this, because they're fascinating. There's also Women in Black. I don't know if you knew this.
Yeah.
It's really cool. But, like, there's some bizarre accounts where they'll, like, show up and, like, you know, and these go back to, like, the 50s and 60s and stuff specifically. That's where you really start. That's sort of the golden age of the Men in Black. But, like, you know, they'll be offered Jell-O, you know, on one account. And, like, they didn't know how to eat it. Or, like, they'll show up and, like, it's clear that, like, they have no lips, but they've, like, painted lipstick on to look like they have lips. And, like, just really bizarre
kind of like that.
Yeah, it's super, like, high strangeness kind of, it just doesn't make any sense, you know, so.
Yeah.
So that's
and
about it.
They kind of talk about it a little bit in The Meadow Project, which is this book by Trey Hudson. And he talks about kind of explorations into the South's Skinwalker Ranch.
Mm.
And there's this incredible account of a Woman in Black type character that just comes out of nowhere in these woods. Now imagine just being out in the woods, I mean deep into the woods, and you're there to kind of investigate certain things, whatever. Yeah. And out of nowhere, this woman in like a black business suit comes with, complete with high heels and everything, just comes stomping out of the tree line.
That's pretty weird. Guys.
And And they said that she was acting super bizarre.
Yeah, yeah.
Just weird stuff like that. So anyhow, he gets a visit from these folks.
Wait, real quick, and I don't mean to go off on a tangent here. I'm not driving away from the dock just yet, but have you seen that? There is one video, I think it was in like around like Niagara Falls, maybe this hotel. Have you seen that footage?
Mm-mm.
So apparently the hotel manager or the like supervisor or something, he was out one day and apparently like he had seen a UFO like the day before or a couple days before or something. Mm-hmm. Well, he happened to be out that day and these two men in black trench coats, both had glasses, wearing them inside, both were just completely bald. They came in and they were like walking around to like different people in the hotel asking for this guy. But, you know, he was out. And so he's like, I don't know. So then he came back and everybody was like, hey, these two weird guys were looking for you. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. So he pulled the footage and, I mean, you can see him. So, you know, maybe it was a hoax. But as far as we know, like, that's like the sort of the only sort of video footage that we have.
Wow.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And if you hit play on your computer and you watch that video, then, you know, expect your doorbell to ring momentarily.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So this guy, Templeton, who, by the way, was a, I think he was like a fireman, actually.
Yeah, he is a fireman, yep.
And one day while he's at the firehouse that he worked at, this dark Jaguar car pulls up. Two men wearing dark suits come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And these strange men refer to each other by numbers instead of names, which is kind of interesting, and claim to be agents of, quote, Her Majesty's government.
Also, the numbers, ironically enough, were number 9 and number 11.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The mysterious men asked Templeton to take them to the site where the photo was taken. During the five-mile drive to the location, Templeton was bombarded by a series of just bizarre questions pertaining to the weather and the behavior of the birds and any other animals that day that he took the photo. When they arrived at the scene, the men in black attempted to force Templeton to confess that he had photographed nothing more than an ordinary man. This is kind of going into what you were talking about, that strange sort of like intimidation. Like, why? Okay.
And they're kind of known for being like really like harsh, which kind of lends itself to, okay, maybe it is the Air Force Division, you know, utilizing like intense, like, you know, what am I trying to say here?
Intimidation.
Like intimidation. Yeah.
Yeah. Shut somebody down before they spread
the... Yeah, yeah. Or the other, you know, maybe they are some kind of weird beings, and like they sort of say that maybe it's less about intimidation and more about like just a total lack of like social, sort of social skills, you know?
That's interesting too, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, let's see, blah, blah, blah. So there they are. They're trying to force him to just confess, you know, hey, tell us that this was just a normal looking ordinary man. Well, Templeton refused to make such an admission. And so then the men became really, really angry. They stormed off, and then they freaking got in their car and drove off and left this guy 5 miles away from work.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah.
There's also something that I think is worth adding, is that apparently his original intention was never to, like, make this a big deal. Apparently, he thought it was going to be kind of... He was going to get some sort of answer or something when he went to the police originally, when he saw the photo. And they just kind of laughed it off and were like, okay, whatever. And then he contacted Kodak, and then it sort of blew up from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one thing that's interesting, one of the questions that Templeton kind of said that these folks, these men in black, asked him was, where did you see the second spaceman?
Oh, that's the best part of the whole story.
Now, Templeton actually had never reported seeing a second one.
Yeah.
As he, just like everything else, tried to explain this to the men in black, then they became visually aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think, you know, he wouldn't admit to just being a normal person and all this, and then they just freaking left him there.
Mm-hmm.
Here's something else that's interesting, man. So a second roll of film that Templeton sent to Kodak for processing months later was returned with some of the negatives mysteriously missing.
Hmm.
Templeton thinks, you know, his theory essentially, and the only one that he could come up with was, well, kind of sounds like they were potentially confiscated by government agents because the film may have revealed something secret.
Wait, I haven't heard anything about this. What is this?
Yeah. So basically, he gets another roll of film processed. When he gets it back, he notices.
And was this from like the same day or like?
No. It was just another roll of film that he sent to Kodak. Now, again, kind of to remind people how the different stages of film development. I mean, you know, you had to kind of send it off, I think, in the early days. By the time we were in the 80s and the 90s, then there were like places that would process it a lot more. There were a lot more of those types of places.
Yeah.
So he sent the film to Kodak. Nothing wrong with it or anything, but whenever he gets it back, he notices that some of the negatives are missing. And the only thing that he could come up with, you know, to justify such a thing was that, oh, okay, maybe he accidentally took some pictures of something. Because, again, they would kind of frequent this area on the weekends. It was sort of like their just chill-out spot, you know?
Yeah.
They couldn't just, you know, hop down on the couch and watch Netflix or whatever. This is 1964. Yeah. And so, you know, back when people would actually go outside and do things together. But just again, I'm going to keep on saying this today. This story begins to take another strange turn.
Yeah.
So the editor of a Cumberland newspaper requested to borrow the negative of the photo in order to send a copy to another newspaper. Now, I know I told you we were going to stay in Europe, folks, but it looks like today we're also going to head down way south in the land of Oz, because this editor wanted to send a copy of this negative to a newspaper in Australia. Apparently, these folks in Australia were dealing with their own potentially extraterrestrial phenomenon and believed that there might be some sort of connection. According to eyewitness reports, on the exact same day that Templeton took his picture, a rocket launch countdown was aborted at a rocket test facility, and I'm going to butcher this name, in Woomera, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on the surface, that doesn't sound too exciting. And you're like, well, maybe it's just a coincidence. But listen to why it was halted. Do you know this?
I think so, but I don't want to give it away.
Okay. So, and this is the part that, like, again, not to just keep on repeating myself. I had no idea. I thought it was just a picture. There was something mm-hmm. weird in it. Oh, yeah. Cool story. There's a spaceman. Strange. And then we've got Men in Black. Then we've got missing negatives. Now we have this rocket launch in Australia on the exact same day that gets halted because why? Two automatic survey cameras caught a pair of large, unidentified humanoid figures wearing what appeared to be white spacesuits walking around the launch pad.
Yeah.
Now, I gotta throw in a note right here that at the time of the launch, when they aborted this thing, the Templeton photo had not reached Australia. You know, again, mm-hmm. this is not the days when CNN and Fox News and everybody had just global access here. They had no idea about this. The crew had no knowledge of this image. So essentially, they looked at these monitors, the folks at the rocket launch, and then someone or two of these figures were in this like area where the actual ignited rockets would be just burning. And so they just shut it down. Like, oh man, somebody's down there. Whoops, whoops, whoops. They go down there to say, hey, you know, I bet somebody's ready to get just dressed down. Quickly, right? They go down there. Nobody's there. No one was ever found. Not a single soul.
Hmm. It was kind of to our friend.
What friend?
How he had one single picture.
So they just kind of like ended up, I think it was documented within that, in the paperwork that day, that it was just like a technical
mistake
or, you know, oh, you know, maybe the monitors picked up something.
Like several of the men that were in the, I mean, I don't think flight tower is the right word, but that sort of gives you the visual, I would imagine.
Flight tower.
You know what I mean.
Control tower.
Yeah, control tower. There you go.
Yeah. Mission control.
Yeah, mission control.
Somewhere, at some point, we're going to realize what the correct term is. Listeners already have. Clay is throwing his phone across the room, I imagine, by now.
Well, probably Matt, too, because he mispronounced the place in Australia.
Woogamaru. What is it called? Oh, Woomera. Yep.
Wait, did you say Willaburoo?
I said Woogamaru.
Woogamaru.
Mm-hmm. That was nice. Closer. All right. Yeah. So again, nobody's found there, but by description, it was the exact same type of man. Same, let's say, clothing, mm-hmm. same figure, same size as mm-hmm. the picture that was taken over in Berg Marsh. And so when this reporter sent it over to this Australian reporter, they just go berserk. So this aborted launch was actually part of this huge space project known as, and I don't know why they keep doing this here with these titles, Blue Streak.
Yeah.
And reporters soon discovered that the rocket to be used in the launch, oh my God, this is so crazy, dude, was manufactured in England
mm-hmm.
in an area that was just a few miles from the Berg Marsh.
Mm-hmm. That's such weird synchronicity.
Oh, man, dude. I mean, it's just insane. So when Australian reporters asked to view the security camera footage taken at Woomera on May 23rd, they were informed that out of all the canisters of film taken during the entire Blue mm-hmm. Streak project, the only canister that was missing there was the one containing the requested footage.
Mm-hmm.
Something important to note real quick. The Woomera facility has also been the site of numerous UFO sightings and at least one more aborted launch due to what was described as a white being that was spotted on security cameras.
Man. I feel like I remember, I mean, I haven't looked it up, but I feel like I remember, which is part of the reason that I did bring this up during the Michelin Men episode, but I feel like in one of the reports, one of the men mentioned that it was like, that, you know, when they saw the two men, when they shut down the launch, that it was like, they were in like puffy spacesuits. Am I imagining?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think that is kind of what it alludes to in this article. And it's basically saying, like, even when you're looking at the picture of Elizabeth Templeton with the spaceman kind of behind her in the background, it looks to be kind of like that old 80s sort of, or maybe even like early 60s, not necessarily, well, a little bit of our NASA kind of vibe, but more like almost like cosmonaut, really, you know, like the real more form-fitting, less puffy, like 80s spacesuits, you know, a little bit more like fitted and tailored. Just straight 60s style, you know?
One thing that I think is so funny is that, like, and I mean, I don't know, I naturally have a, I don't know, sort of an aversion to, like, people that are just like full on like immediate debunkers. But I do find it pretty funny that like all these debunkers like immediately just came up with this sort of reasoning that like, oh, it's clearly a beekeeper suit. It's like out of all the things you could come up with, like,
and out of all the things you might just cross paths with on a coastal breezy day, going for a picnic, is that all? That old beekeeper.
Just a beekeeper.
He's just looking for a place to grab lunch, you know? He's got his peanut butter and he's got his bread, his peanut butter, and he's got a little bit of honey.
So dumb.
Maybe a couple bananas, too.
Yeah.
And he's just like, I don't have time to take the suit off. Nah, I'll just stand right here and eat it.
Yeah.
Okay, one last kind of connection here. And then we'll kind of talk about some of the debunking things and then also what we think is going on. So less than 3 weeks later, after, we'll just say around, you know, mid-June, okay? Well, let me just say this. Eventually, the Blue Streak rocket was actually successfully launched on the 5th of June in 1964. A few weeks later, off the coast of California in Big Sur, another alien form was captured by a U.S. Air Force team filming an Atlas rocket. Both the Atlas and the Blue Streak were ICBMs. ICBM stands for Intercontinental Ballistic Missile. Oftentimes, you know, growing up in the 80s, you hear about them all the time because those are like the missile rockets that you would attach a warhead to. The commanding officer of this mission in Big Sur, California, captured footage of what appears to be an alien ship beaming light at the tip of the rocket warhead twice.
I love it.
When the footage was developed, guess who came to visit?
Men in black, baby.
Men in blacks came there to question him.
Yeah. Which honestly, to me, while I don't totally understand like the men in black concept, just in general, like there's so many sort of conflicting ideas and well, maybe it's this, maybe it's this. But I will say this. I will say that while I don't necessarily fully believe that like they were all, especially the division of the Air Force, I can see those guys actually sort of being used against like other military officials. Like to me, that makes more sense than like coming out and just intimidating random civilians.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think it all makes sense to me, dude, especially if there's some sort of cover up. But we're going to get there in just a second.
We will return after these messages.
Something out there waiting for us.
Never say die. Hey, this is Bryce Johnson from the Bigfoot Collectors Club, and you're listening to Tyler and Woody on That Would Be Rad, because that is rad.
Essentially, I mean, it's kind of time for that, actually. Like, that pretty well wraps up the mystery for so many years, for so long. I mean, we're talking about this happened in 1964.
Yeah.
People have wondered about this. This is one of those, again, as soon as you see the picture, I'm certain you've seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
There have been people that have come out, tried to prove it. There is another picture that exists from that same day that shows Mrs. Templeton kind of leaning over, kind of while the daughter's picking flowers, that kind of thing, a different angle. There have been some debunkers that have said, you know, look, it looks like if you kind of adjust the contrast of the original photo, you can kind of tell that it's the mom in the background, you know, suggesting that, I mean, I don't know.
I don't see it.
I mean, I'm zooming in like a son of a gun on this video. And oh, I don't know. It's tough, man, because
Are you seeing the mom, you're saying?
No. No, it just looks, I mean, honestly, if I was going to say, well, it's not a spaceman. First off, this picture, and sure, it could be some sort of lighting thing, but it looks like, at the very least, this has got to be a man's back.
Yeah.
Like, his arms, like, look 1,000 times.
Yeah. I think it's ridiculous. One thing that I also think is worth mentioning is I know that, like, in a couple places, I remember it being like them sort of saying, well, in his original report, he never mentioned that his wife was there, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that I think kind of, I don't know if it lends credibility per se, but I will say, like, even in the picture that it shows the wife, it almost looks like she's like leaning forward to get out of frame.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? See, like, when you're looking at this picture, again, we're going to share this one as well.
Mm-hmm.
Her arms are teeny tiny, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, not only are they teeny tiny, but it looks like she's like, I mean, you know, most moms, especially back in the old days, they would, you know, you'd pull out the giant camcorder and like, they'd be like, no, don't take a picture. And they would cover up their face and stuff. So to me, like, that's what that picture kind of looks like.
Yeah.
And that would make sense to me. I mean, I can totally see a wife saying, you know, if him being like, well, I went to the police and nothing happened. And I went to, Kodak and, you know, now they're kind of making a big deal out of it. Like, I could see her just being like, okay, just like, don't mention my name. It was just you and Elizabeth. And then that was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to me, in that same photo, it looks like the mom's kind of been over to kind of maybe pick some more flowers or something
like
that.
Yeah.
In any case, it doesn't look, you know, it kind of looks like a mix between like maybe a spaceman or maybe a futuristic police uniform. I mean, that's what I meant, that to me, one of the reasons why it's so fascinating is because it's more than just this picture. You know, this whole story is so much more than just this picture.
Right.
Even if this picture was a complete hoax, some of the things that kind of even debunk that are like the strange coincidence of simultaneously on the same exact day down in Australia, there are two of these sort of white spacemen, you know, walking around this rocket, disrupting it. And then the fact that the rocket itself was manufactured only a few miles away from where this picture was taken, you know, to me,
see, that's
I'm ready to get into my theories here. And guys, it's not going to be, if there's ever a game show that you're on, and, you know, one of the questions is, what is Woody going to guess, or what's his theory going to be?
Oh, yeah.
The answer, of course, would be
time travel,
right? Mm-hmm. Like, so much of these events and these encounters and anything that has to do with these sort of beings and stuff, like, I don't know, man. It just seems, and even Men in Black in a way, man. I was going to save that for whenever we talk about them. In a way, and we have talked about this, I know for sure, on the show before. To me, making yourself relatively bland in clothing and stuff, I think can, like, I think the purpose sense. Before that, I mean, the purpose for that is to kind of, quote unquote, blend in. And there's the timeless element to the Men in Black uniform. Yeah, right. But at the same time, it has that unintended consequence, I think, which is it kind of makes you stand out in a way. And I mm-hmm. think maybe this time traveler, and I always like to think of time travel as certainly not like a perfected, like they haven't quite perfected it yet.
Yeah.
Whenever we're seeing these moments, you know what
I mean? Still, like, they're still flying by the seat of their pants a little bit.
Right. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know exactly where they're going to end up. And maybe it's not just time travel. Maybe it's interdimensional travel.
Right.
And that kind of makes almost a little bit more sense to me whenever there's a uniform like this involved, because then it's like, okay, we got to have something that's going to protect you from potential elements or maybe differences in atmosphere. And whether or not, you know, like, you know, I mean, there are atmospheric things in other planets and stuff that would essentially just like burn your skin.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like gases in the air. That kind of makes a little bit more sense than, oh, I'm going to go back in time here, throw this white suit on, you know?
Yeah. Although if I were looking at like the, not necessarily like the spaceman, but like if I were looking at the Men in Black, behind the filter of like a time travel, to me that seems like I could see that, but it seems a lot more like perfected.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's like very, it would be like a lot more streamlined, almost like, well, there's good guys and there's bad guys and they're both time travelers and, you know, that kind of thing. But for me, like, it's funny and it goes back to that sort of age old, kind of that thing that we see in so many of these stories where there's it's almost just like that cosmic like protocol of like we're never quite able to see all the evidence. We're never quite, you know, like the Patterson-Gimlin film, like that has disappeared through the years. Like nobody can find the actual footage. Much like him the film disappeared. Like there's always these like little, it's like, man, we're so close, we have like this thing, but like, oh well, then this, you know, this roll of film from this rocket launch magically is just vanished.
And I'll put this, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, no, I was just gonna say, I like, to me that feels very like almost like simulation theory or sort of like cosmic trickster, if you want to get super sort of esoteric. But but I don't know, man. It is weird. I mean, but it could fall under time travel.
Yeah,
because well.
I mean, like, if you think about it, well, first I was going to say, let me put my skeptic's hat on for a second. Mm-hmm. And it's a goofy looking hat, you know, sorry, skeptic. I'm just kidding. But like, let me put that skeptic hat on for a sec. And I would say that for someone that just thinks all of these things are hoaxes, I think it'd be pretty easy to say, well, like, boy, isn't that convenient? Of course it goes missing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that sucks.
Yeah.
But to your point about the Men in Black also being, it's almost like they're the, what do they call them, dude? Not the fixer, but the...
Like the...
They come in and just like clean up the scene.
Oh.
Almost like an eraser, almost like a...
Yeah.
What am I thinking of?
Like, man? The Adjustment Bureau type.
I mean, never heard of it.
Yeah, you have that Matt Damon movie.
Yeah, I never watched it.
Which, by the way, is based off of a Philip K. Dick, I think, short
that's right. That's
story,
right.
Yeah. Maybe.
I think we've talked about that. But yeah, somebody that's going to come in and just go after the evidence.
Yeah.
You know, so that they can erase, even if it's like at the corporate level. I mean, you know, whatever, to erase the trace that they've been there.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just bizarre, you know? I mean, I think that's what pisses me off the most, I think, about hoaxers, man, is because they kind of take the attention away from the potential real stuff that's happening all around us. And I remember one time you said something to me, and I don't know if it was on the show or not, but it was pretty, like, I thought, man, that's true. I never really thought about it this way. And it's kind of like almost a way to turn the attention away from what's really going on and to kind of make it, you know, if this was like a campaign to have all these hoaxes not this one in particular, not the case we're talking about today. I'm just saying in general, all these hoaxers to kind of come out, then it kind of discredits the other ones too, the real ones, right?
Right.
And yeah. So like it would be kind of an easy way to sort of, oh, well, all that stuff's kind of, that stuff's made up, you know?
Yeah.
And then well, the real dangerous stuff can live amongst these hoaxer stories. And,
yeah, but I mean, that's a big thing that like, there's a documentary called Mirage Men that came out years ago. It used to be on Netflix, but I don't, for some reason, I don't think it is. But I mean, it's a full-on deal where like, I mean, the military, the CIA, they've used like disinformation agents for years and years, mm-hmm. like at least going back to like, you know, 50s and 60s we know of. So like that is kind of part of it is to kind of like, I mean, if you think of it in more of like a mundane sort of viewpoint, like, you know, take out the time travel and the simulation theory. It's like, okay, well, let's have these guys like come out and claim like, I saw this thing too. And you know, they'll throw out this story that's just so over the top and silly. And then it sort of muddies the water and it makes your average person exactly what you said, just be like, it's all fake. Mm. They're just, all these people are just trying to get attention.
Man.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty smart, really.
Yeah.
So.
Dude, this just in, man, it appears while we've been recording this episode that they actually have some audio of a real extraterrestrial, I can't even say it, it's so, a real audio of an extraterrestrial speaking. Listen to this.
Journey is usually the part that you remember anyways.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man, I didn't know where you were going with that.
I know. I just had to, man. It's like one of my favorite memes of all time. And, you know, we have a true, like, connection with Miley Cyrus, and so I feel bad for her, but yeah. Also funny as and then it's like the kid from like that one was like a dog just going
yeah
there's
yeah,
just right. Nothing that gets me more. I'm looking,
did you get my message,
at these Men in Black characters in Niagara Falls, huh? And yeah, this was 2008, the 14th of October 2000, yep. Or I'm sorry, the 8th of October 2014, maybe? I can't tell, really. No, wait, I would say, because then it says 22:30, so I'm thinking that means, you know, 11:30 at night. It looks pretty light outside.
Yeah, it was in the afternoon. Okay. Yeah, and by the way, for all you listeners, we're talking, I just sent Woody a picture of the those Men in Black, the footage, the video footage. It's like a still of the video footage of them coming in that hotel from that story that I told earlier about up in Niagara Falls.
Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
And, you know, let's not forget, too, like, you know, G-men and all that stuff. It was pretty common for them to wear those plain suits. And so,
characters.
No, what I'm saying is this is going to support your overall thing here. So just calm down before you start arguing with me, pal. Okay? Before you start debunking me. What I'm trying to say is that's actually, if you were going to time travel to the 60s, that would be a pretty smart thing to do, is to just wear a plain black suit.
Yeah.
You know, you can kind of blend in. Now, nowadays, it's a little less common because you've got entrepreneurs that just wear T-shirts and sneakers.
Yeah, right.
And so you're going to stick out kind of like a sore thumb. But it's an interesting thing to think about, man. What are they wearing now? You know, I would say if I was going to still apply that same sort of information pressure or information gathering, I would do it in a way that was far less like noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think to me, I mean, especially like looking at this picture, I mean, the one thing that stands out to me before I even get into what else I was going to say is like, look how sort of unnaturally like blocky their suits look. They almost look like Dick Tracy villains.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, see how wide the shoulders are?
Yeah, that's weird.
But to me, what I was going to say is like, why all these Men in Black cases, like almost every single time, like they're inside. They never take their sunglasses off.
Mm.
And then, like, to me, the giveaway, especially nowadays, like, I think in the 60s, like you were saying, 50s, 60s, this would have been right at home. But nowadays, like, the fedora, like, I wear a fedora sometimes, but it's more of sort of a, like, rock and roll
way
thing.
More hipster is the word you're looking
hipster.
For.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I have like an organic farm-to-table barbecue recipe that I want to sell.
Yeah, right, right.
Anybody's
right.
interested. But it's like, it just seems like overkill. But I think, I don't know. I think it comes from that same like lack of like social cues or like social skills that like maybe like to them they're thinking, oh, this is like, this is what's expected. Mm. But you know what I'm saying? It's that
yeah,
weird,
dude,
like,
it's what you were talking about earlier that I think we should emphasize here, which is not just like, oh, they don't really have, they just have makeup in strange places, like shaved eyebrows, but with like painted on.
Yeah. Things. Yeah.
Like there's mm-hmm. always that like weird, mm-hmm. hey, I almost got it all, but there's something weird, you know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Hey, there's a person standing there. And I think you've mentioned something like this before where they're dressed perfectly. And then you look down and instead of shoes, they were making yeah. the sound walking on sidewalk or whatever. It's mm-hmm. hooves. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
You know what yep. I mean? Or like,
it's that sort of imposter.
Everything's normal. Everything's normal. And the guy's got like balloons for hands. And you're like, uh-oh.
yeah.
Time well, to get the hell out of here.
Well, one thing that's weird, and I mean, I'm sorry to turn this into a Men in Black episode, but I promise you, here's what we should totally try to get. I don't think you're probably not
one of the Men in Black on the show.
We need to get the, if you guys are listening to the show, all you Men in Black, we'd
oh,
love
no,
to
no,
have
no.
you.
Don't start. Don't let's. I should.
We'd love to have you.
Okay, let's have them.
No. But there's a writer who's probably one of the most prolific writers of all time. Like just in this conversation, he's finished two books. It's a guy by the name of Nick Redfern, and mm-hmm. he's written a ton about the Men in Black, the Women in Black. He has like a book just on like Women in Black encounters. And man, I would love to try to get him on. He's a British guy. He's awesome. But anyway, all that to say is like, there's also these stories of, and again, this dates back to like the 60s where they would show up and a lot of people would notice that like, you know, after, you know, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, it was almost like they could physically see them like, it was almost like they were running out of battery.
Oh man, that's weird.
Yeah. Like their speech would suddenly start to like sort of slur and slow down, like sort of like they're powering down.
Mm.
So like
nothing in, nothing out, only machine.
Oh man, that's a great show.
You know, it reminds me of that scene in the Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Oh right, yeah.
Which mm-hmm. dude?
Never Here mind. We go.
Well, I was gonna say.
Here we go.
You were right. I was wrong.
I know, pal.
You know, that's a big, hey guys, we're in our 40s now. We can mm-hmm. do things like this. We can admit when we were wrong and I was wrong about the Dungeons and Dragons movie. We're not going to go any further into it.
Yeah.
But
I knew
that is so
someday.
Freaky, man. And so,
yeah,
when the Men in Black come on, I promise I'm not going to stare at their weird balloon hand. You know?
Can I say one more thing, though?
Yeah, please.
And again, not to like push the Men in Black thing again, but
well, I'm done with this case. So whatever you want to say now, yeah. It's just okay.
Well, I think that there's something about those sort of the more high strangeness oriented Men in Black cases that, like, again, I don't know if I'm sort of I've been like trained because of this podcast, but like so many other things. I don't know. It reminds me of like Sam the Sandown Clown. It reminds me of, and maybe it's just like a behavioral thing of something that's like alien or like foreign from somewhere else, some other time, some other dimension, some other, you know, wherever planet.
Yeah.
It's just like that idea of whatever this entity is doing, they're doing, everything that they're doing is trying to make you think that they're normal and that they're
the while they've got fucking balloon heads.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not normal at all, but.
Let me ask you a question, kind of off topic. I can't even.
Oh, God.
Like, my luck would be we finally, like John Titor he comes to our door.
Oh God!
And he turns out he's interdimensional, and he's like, "Dude, you guys can come with. I figured out a way to get back. Don't worry." Mm-hmm. We hop in the car and we go to this dimension, and it's like my luck is like all the women have balloon hands, dude. And so my question is, dude, would you still do it?
I definitely would. Or
what could they do with the balloon hands? Are they soft?
Oh yeah. And are they constantly making that like
noise? I'm sorry, you know? Dude. But what about like, I just thought of something even funnier about the balloon hand. Imagine like a big round balloon hand, but with like little bitty tiny fingers.
Like the Cabbage Patch Kid.
Like the Cabbage Patch Kid. And they're just like, "Hey man, nice to meet you. Oh man, this is great. Nice to meet you, John." And you're like, "Oh man." And you just kind of grab the ball of the hand. You're like, "Yeah, okay."
Now see, that's actually, I would be more okay with the Michelin Man having those hands than having like a just
normal human arms, man.
Yeah, like a button up dress shirt mm-hmm. sleeve and a regular.
I'm freaked out by the Michelin Man. I think he's awesome.
He is awesome. Also, I gotta say, I'm gonna
post. Hello, my baby. Hello, my darling. Yeah.
I'm gonna post this link when we drop it of an eBay posting.
Just cut it out.
And if you guys want to buy this for
don't
me,
do
my
it.
Birthday
it's too expensive. Do not buy
is
this
on
for Tyler.
June 21st. But it is a
don't do it
terrifying
I'm
little
it.
Figure that is apparently
an old like vintage model of the Michelin Man, and it's like made out of. I don't even know if it's pewter or what it is. Brass? Is it brass the one you sent me? I mean, the thing
like
is
the
amazing
painted one?
Looking.
Oh, it looks awesome. And he's holding the little goblet full of like broken glass and stuff. Super weird.
Campaign of the century. Okay, look, yeah. We need to get back on track here.
Yeah. Let me just say this. I want to say that this particular topic, like so many other topics, is... you know, can be a short kind of one and done topic. But Woody, I think you've done an amazing job of sort of digging up some of that like background noise that isn't very often talked about. I mean, I was surprised that you dug some of that up because I thought when you first said it, I was like, oh man, I got a ton of stuff that I'm about to lay out.
Drop on them.
And you dropped it. So,
well, I mean, that's bravo. Thank you, man. Thank you very much. That's I would say my own personal evolution into all this stuff is back in the day, I would have just looked at the picture and be like, yeah, pretty cool. Probably fake.
Beekeeper.
And just never would beekeeper on his lunch break. And I probably wouldn't have just like through life. I mean, I was very familiar with this picture. I hadn't seen it in many, many years, but
yeah.
I just never really dug deeper, and the fact that there was so much more really intrigued me. And I thought, you know what? This kind of goes hand in hand a little bit with what we talked about with the Michelin Man.
Yeah, right.
Was it the Michelin Man though? This was hand in hand with.
Well, I think the puffy suits of the two men that stopped the launch.
Right. It just kind of reminded me, and the Gulf Breeze, it kind of reminded me of all, both of those things kind of mixed together. And to me, it's just, you know, this is what Camp Red Strangeness is all about, finding these either obscure or somewhat known stories overseas across the pond. But man, I'm telling you folks listening, we're about to start diving into the creepy and the scary of what exists.
I love it. I can't wait, dude.
Yeah.
If you, listener, have your own sort of international flared story that's localized, hey, feel free to shoot it on over. We would love to possibly feature it. I mean, we have I would say for the most part, we have Camp Rad Strangeness International 2023 laid out. But, I mean, it's always subject to change. So if you have a story that's across the pond from us folks over here domestically in the U.S., we'd love to hear about it. Head on over to Instagram where you can jump in, join the family, the ongoing conversation in the comment sections. If you do have a story, you can DM us, or if it's more long form, shoot it over to thatwouldberadpod@gmail.com. Even better than that is going to our website, thatwouldberadpodcast.com. And leaving the voice memo feature where we can basically take the voice memo, throw some background music and sound design, and feature it on an upcoming episode. We'd love to have you. If you're not getting enough That Would Be Rad content here on the main feed, or the free feed, however, head over to Patreon and join the Rabbit Trail, our little sort of additional, just the place that you can get the extra That Would Be Rad content. We have multiple episodes per month, and it's a little looser. We record a little later, and but it's still, you know, it's still more of what you love. Get out there, tell one single friend about the show, that weird friend that works at the video store if you still have one in your small town. Tell them about the show. If you have time, go give us a 5-star review, and it would be greatly appreciated. You got anything else, Woody?
Only this.
And he is usually the part that you remember anyways.
We love you, we appreciate you, and as always,
be rad.
That's the way you go.
Man,
a didgeridoo, man.
God.
Oh, my God.
It does sound like a didgeridoo, her voice.
Golly, man. I don't know why. Just like every single one of them just gets me going.
Yeah,
every single time. I laugh so hard, man.
You nailed it.
I mean, back in the day, I would have just been like, yeah, so there's this picture.
And it's fake.
And they said it was a hoax.
Next.
Yeah. Which it very well could be, but even still, dude, again, man, I know I repeat this. again, dude, this is what, let me go ahead and restart.
Let me get back in there.
That's what I would say to the balloon hand.
An hour and a half.
The balloon hand girl.
Again?
The girl's got balloon hands, but you know what, dude? Everybody needs love, and she's got balloon hands.
Mm-hmm.
You just put them closer together. It's kind of like, you know. Anyway, what I'm saying is, like, I said this a million times on the show, but, like, that's part of the reason why I was like, oh, yeah, no, we're definitely doing this. Because even this, even, like, when I was doing the initial research, I was like, because, dude, so many articles are like, this guy said this, but everybody thinks it was his wife. Boop, that's it. You know, right. Like, the fact that all this other stuff happened in Australia, the Men in Black stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I do now, like, the more I think about it, dude, I really feel like, imagine, like, there's this organization.
Mm-hmm.
And part of their, like, sort of purpose is to travel in time or in other dimensions, to make some sort of discovery, whatever that is, whether that's, or maybe even, like, maybe their mission is to, like, shut down and save the human race from killing itself, whatever the situation is. Okay. They have a mission.
Hide Bigfoot footage.
Hide Bigfoot, or maybe they are Bigfoot. Anyway, there's a reason behind their mission. These folks come in whatever, I guess, crazy suit, Flatwoods Monster, the Falkville Metal Man, whatever it is that they're wearing.
And that's who I was thinking of. That's who the character kind of looks like.
A little bit, yeah. I mean, you know, to me, it looks like something like a policeman from The Hunger Games.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Like a white helmet, it's like a riot control.
Yeah, no, it looks like the cops from RoboCop.
Oh, yeah.
They had those,
dude, you know it would be hilarious, helmets. Bro? Can you please, it's not going to be one of the cops from RoboCop, but what if you put in, like, an old stormtrooper?
I mean, that would be pretty awesome.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. Now, I will say that somebody had a pretty cool, I think it was Liam, he had a pretty cool theory about someone having, like, a pane of glass and then, like, being able to do that for the Gulf Breeze. The irony, dude, is that I just saw this video. It's like a special effect video thing where they show, like, they're doing practical effects on a small miniature set.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got this screen playing, like, this animation. Then they have a piece of glass. And so glass is picking up the reflection of this animation. And then it's, like, almost superimposing it on top of what's going on in the actual scene. Looks so cool. But, like, really, though, I think the most intriguing part of it is the audio. And just wait for it.
Well,
journey is usually the part that you remember anyways. phone home.
Jeez.
Anyways.
No, I think that I'm glad you brought that up. Well, we'll probably do a Patreon where we talk about this. But I did run across, like, remember how I told you there was, like, a film school?
A film.
Class or whatever that, like, that sort of took it upon themselves to, like, kind of break down and see if they could.
You're talking about the Gulf Breeze thing?
Yeah, to be able to fake the Gulf Breeze thing.
Yeah.
And they couldn't do it. And that was one, they even tried that. Because when I heard that, it made me think of that game that I was trying to explain to you that time.
It made me sound like such an idiot.
Well, in the arcade in Lakeshore Mall, they had that game.
Pac-Man. It's called Pac-Man. There's a big
Pac-Man. Although, you know what? It was in one of those sort of Mrs. Pac-Man, like Pizza Hut, you know, two people sit down.
Yeah, those were the greatest, man.
Man, they were awesome. But it was this weird game where, like we thought it looked incredible, but it was like... Mm-hmm. $3 to play or something. It was like hologram. This little cowboy would walk around.
I don't know what you're talking about, dude. I don't know that game. But it's like something somebody with balloon hands would like.
Yeah, for sure. But the reason I thought of that is because when I watched this thing talking about this, like, this sort of film class trying to, like, break it down, they did the same thing where they had, like, the pane of glass. And I think they did it where they shot, like, a projector somehow, and it, like, bounced, however that worked, refraction and all that stuff. But they couldn't even come close to how it looked.